I think we all realize that there is nobody in the world who has it all. For most of us, there will always be something that we don't have that it'd be pretty nice if we did. What if that, whatever that may be for you, what if that was given to you? It'd be pretty exciting, wouldn't it be? Well, Bartimaeus was a man who is missing something that is a little bit different than most of us. He was a man who is missing his sight. He sat outside of Jericho in Mark chapter 10, blind, but he calls out to Jesus in verse 51 and he says, "I want to regain my sight." Do you think it'd be pretty nice for Bartimaeus if that happened? Well, the answer that he receives from Jesus is yes. We see this in verse 52. "Go, your faith has made you well." And immediately he regained his sight and he began following him on the road. How exciting would that be? Isn't it fun to think about a man regaining his sight? What do you think the first thing Bartimaeus looked at was? Can you imagine Bartimaeus' eyes being opened and then, you know, immediately engulfed by the sight of this huge crowd that's following Jesus? And all of their eyes are looking at him. It's not every day that you see a man being healed from being blind. Can you imagine Bartimaeus looking up at the trees that he has only known their shade for these past years and seeing what they look like for the first time? Can you imagine him looking up and seeing the birds that have sung him sweet songs throughout all that time and seeing what they look like? The text says that Bartimaeus wanted to regain his sight, which indicates that he once had it before. Can you imagine him looking down at his hands and seeing how they've changed over all those years? I believe that this newly sighted man would have tried to look at anything and everything, except for the inside of his eyelids. I wonder if he tried to drink in just as much of sight as he could before blinking again. I mean, he'd already seen things enough that way. And, you know, I don't believe that we'd be any different. Can you imagine how much we would really look at things if we didn't have the sight, if we didn't have the ability of sight, and then it was given to us again? Now, we might laugh it off as something that, you know, we can't imagine. You know, we've never been missing something like Bartimaeus did. We've certainly never been given a gift as great as Bartimaeus did. I hope we realize that that's completely untrue. Throughout chapters 3 through 5 of the book of Romans, Paul describes mankind, including you and I, as people in need, and how we have been given a gift greater, even than Bartimaeus. This gift is presented to us within the text, wrapped in the word just and the different forms of it, justified and justification. And usually we think about being just as being right or having a right, and it's important to us in regards to the life that comes after this one. I believe the majority of us want to get to heaven, but you don't have to read through all of the New Testament to realize that not everybody is going to be there. And contrary to some belief, heaven is not the place that you go just because you don't feel like you deserve to go to hell, but heaven is the place that you go to because you are justified to go to heaven. The Greek word that is translated justified means to be acquitted or to be declared free of from guilt, and that is who's going to heaven. Those who can stand before God guiltless. And we're not going to be judged by our definition of guilt either, guilt or guiltless. Our definition, it changes over time, but it has flaws in it, no matter how old we are. When we're a child, we may steal a toy from another child and feel completely justified in doing so because, hey, we were playing with that toy an hour ago. That's our toy. As we get older, you know, we may almost plow into a car and almost intentionally do it in the intersection because, hey, they went when I had the right of way. And if we would have plowed into it, we would have been justified in doing it because, hey, we had the right of way. You know, maybe that's just a guy thing. I don't know. But you can see where our thoughts of justification, you know, has its flaws to it. But God's definition, it's perfect. Those who are going to be with him for eternity are going to be the ones who are literally guiltless, have no guilt. To refer to the illustration of Bartimaeus, with sin, someone is blind spiritually. Heaven is the place for sighted people. So who are those who have sight? Who can be called just? Who can be called free of guilt? Well, Paul says this in Romans 3 and verse 9. What then? Are we better than they? Not at all. For we have already charged that both Jews and Greeks are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, not even one. There is none who understands. There is none who seek for God. A little further down in verse 19. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be closed, and that all the world may become accountable to God. Because by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, for through the law comes the knowledge of sin. There is not a person who is guiltless. God's perfect law was given to this world, but Paul points out that even those that follow the law still have guilt. Strictly following the law with the thought that doing so will justify you is like being blind, doing the things that sighted people do, but it not changing the fact that you're still blind. The text specifically points out that by the law, no one can be justified, but whether we're talking about the law, strictly following the law, if we're talking about just doing good and trying to be good, there is no way that someone can be justified on their own. Whether we are a Jew or whether we are Gentile, we sin, and therefore we are blind, and there is nothing that we can do except live in darkness and look forward to darkness unless something is done about that. Bartimaeus encountered someone who could change that for him. He encountered something new, something that wasn't really new. Jesus was with God from the beginning, but he encountered Jesus coming into the flesh and healing in a way that nobody had ever seen before. And Paul points out that very same thing has been done to us, where we have the opportunity to be healed by a way that's never been seen. We see in verse 21, but now apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Just like it was Jesus walking down that physical road to Bartimaeus that gave him a spark of hope that I can be healed from this, Jesus came to this world so that we could have hope. We continue reading in verse 22, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all those who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified as a gift by His grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, whom God displayed publicly as a propitiation in His blood through faith. This was to demonstrate His righteousness, because in forbearance of God He passed over sins previously committed. For the demonstration, I say, of His righteousness at the present time, so that He would be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. A blind man being stripped of his blindness is a big deal. Nobody can say that it's not. But I tell you again, brethren, there is something greater than that, and it's been given to us. Now, Paul continues on into chapter 4 of Romans, and he uses Abraham as an example. And his purpose in using Abraham is to show the importance of faith in Christ versus following the law strictly and believing you're justified by it. But what we also see through the example of Abraham is that sometimes we don't see immediate proof of the promises that are given, but the person who holds on to those promises in faith are never disappointed. We see in chapter 4 and verse 20. Yet with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, this is Abraham, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God and being fully assured that what God had promised, he was also able to perform. Abraham had his own call of faith, kind of like Bartimaeus did, a little bit different. Abraham wasn't sitting calling for his sight to be given to him, but every time Abraham reflected in faith of this promise that God had given to him of a son, he was in effect calling on God to fulfill that promise. And even though Abraham didn't know how it was going to happen, he didn't know how Sarah was going to be able to have a child, and it didn't happen immediately. He was faithful and held on to faith in God. And did God answer that faith? Well, yes, He did. His call of faith was answered just the same as Bartimaeus was with, "Go, your faith has made you well." Abraham and Sarah welcomed Isaac into the world. Bartimaeus and Abraham are both examples of the fact that we can call on Christ Jesus to heal us, and we will not be disappointed. Looking at these examples of faith, we know that we can call to Jesus for justification, that we can see Jesus for justification. We can say, Lord, I want to have sight. I want to have my sight. Lord, I want to be healed. Lord, I want to be saved. And what is his answer to that? Well, we see in Romans 5 and verse 1, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have also obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we exult in the hope of the glory of God. And not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings perseverance, and perseverance, proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who is given to us. For while we are still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for the good man someone would dare even to die. But God demonstrated his own love toward us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. For if, while we were his enemies, we were reconciled to God through faith in the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only this, but we also exult in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. God gives an emphatic answer that echoes down through our entire eternity. Go, your faith has made you well. He gives an overwhelming yes, that our call to him in faith is heard. Yes, we can be justified. Yes, we can have peace. Yes, we can see. Praise God, we can see. We can stand guiltless before him. But are we using the sight that's been given to us? Paul points to this landmark moment. I mean, no bigger moment than Christ's sacrifice and life for us, where we now have the ability to be justified and to stand justified before God. But he also recalls another point in the past where the opposite happened. We see in Romans 5 and verse 12, therefore, just as through one man, Adam, sin entered into the world, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam until Moses, even over those who had not sinned in the likeness of the offense of Adam, who is a type of him who is to come. Through Adam, we all received the ability to sin. As Adam ate that fruit, the eyes of him and the eyes of those who came after him were open to the fact that there is more ways than just eating of that tree to disobey God. There is access to a whole orchard of trees of unrighteousness that we can all pick from. Trees of lust, trees of anger, trees of pride, and none of us can help picking. None of us can help eating. And just as eating from that tree separated Adam and Eve from God, it separated us from him as well. We put our own eyes out. We blinded ourselves. We were not just seeking to gain spiritual sight, but we were seeking to regain our innocence that we had when we were born. But Paul says this in Romans 5 and verse 19, for through the one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners. Even so, through the obedience of the one, the many will be made righteous. Now, what is it that being righteous means? It means we have the ability to be righteous now. And because we have been given the ability to be righteous, you know what we should be? We should be righteous. David pens this long ago in Psalm 51 and verse 10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. David calls out from his heart for the very same thing that we were seeking for. Cleanse me, justify me, make me righteous. But then he says this in verse 13. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will be converted to you. Grant me a clean heart so that I can do something with it. We have been given that clean heart. We have been given the very gift that David of old begged for. Having now been justified by his blood, we stand. We stand in faith. We stand clean. We stand justified. And now that we stand, we should remain standing. When the opportunity to be righteous or to defend righteousness arises, we should refuse to sit down. When our emotions become inflamed by people or a situation and the temptation to sin rises up and it says, okay, now you can just sit down for a little bit and let me take over, our answer should be no. I have the ability to be righteous now, and I will be. When a chance to be righteous presents itself, even though it may seem difficult, even though it may seem inconvenient, we hear that whisper within ourselves, you know, just sit down, just let the opportunity pass. Our answer should be no. I have the ability to be righteous now, and I will be. Numerous opportunities for righteousness spring out throughout each and every one of our lifetimes, and there's the unspoken call that goes out. Who is going to take this opportunity? And our response should be, here am I, Lord. I will. I can be righteous, and I will be. I have the ability to be now. Can you imagine the indignation that would crinkle the face of Bartimaeus if someone told him, you know, it's just better to be blind. It's just better. Just shut your eyes again. But really? Really? It was better doing that? You mean walking in darkness? I've done that enough. I've done that for too long now. Really, you mean like having no hope of life in life except for darkness? I've done that enough now. The same indignation should roil within us when it is conveyed that being unrighteous or having an indifference to righteousness is the best course of action, especially when it comes from within us. When we hear that whisper within our conscience that the best thing to do is not the righteous thing, we're really telling ourselves, you know, I know that you couldn't see for a while, but it's better to be blind. Really? Should be our answer to ourselves. Really? It's better that way? We know that's not true. We've done that long enough within our lives that we realize it is not that great. It's far better to be righteous. That's what Jesus died for. And when we decide to be indifferent to that or to do the opposite, we ignore the price that was paid for us to do that. We can wonder about what Bartimaeus looked at when he was given sight again, but I believe really the most important answer to this question is given within the text. It says again in Mark 10:52, immediately he regained his sight and he began following him, Jesus. Bartimaeus used those opened eyes of his to look at the man who gave him sight. He watched the steps that Jesus took using the sight that Jesus gave him. He watched the things that Jesus did using the sight that Jesus gave him. And it's hard to imagine that that would not change the way that Bartimaeus lived his entire life if he was really thankful and watching Jesus closely. Jesus changed everything for him, and Jesus has changed everything for us. Now we need to follow him and watch him. Our mind needs to follow the road where Jesus leads. Our speech needs to follow his pattern. Our actions need to follow his example. We need to be righteous because Jesus, who did everything for us, is righteous. My kids, they have a Bible storybook that really drives this point home for me. This book, it uses illustrations to tell the story or along with the story. And in the story of Bartimaeus, the illustrator shows him being able to see the trees again and to see the sky again. But it ends on him being able to see the best thing, him being able to see Jesus. And he looks at Jesus and he has a smile on his face and there's a tear coming down his eye. And man, that hits me. I cannot lie. That hits me. And it's because of what I see represented within that tear, all of that thankfulness and that joy and that admiration and that awe and that devotion to this man who has rescued him from a life of darkness. And I believe that tear was there, you know, even if it didn't actually run down his cheek. And I have no doubt, I mean, it's hard for me to imagine him not crying in that situation. But I believe that all of those feelings were within this man, and they should be within us as well. We may not be criers, but we should have thankfulness and joy and wonder and devotion and admiration for this man who saved us. And can you imagine the indignation coming across Bartimaeus' face if someone told him not to follow Jesus or not to act how Jesus acted? Really? Jesus saved me. How could we not act like this man who saved us? How could we ever think that it's better to try not to be like him, or not to do the things that he did, or doing the things that brought us death in the first place? We probably all remember that Adam, in the very beginning, he had access to, I mean, he had access to multiple trees, but the two that we were usually concerned with is he had access to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, but he had access to the tree of life as well. Do you think Adam believed that he made the right choice of which one he ate from? Praise God, we now have the ability to one day have access to that tree again. We see in Revelation 22 and verse 14, blessed are those who wash their robes, those who are justified, so that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter by the gates to the city. But now we also, within this life, we have access to two trees within our lives. Either we could still pick of that tree of evil that has done nothing for us except caused us death, or we can now pick of the tree of righteousness that is available to us with this spirit that God has given us. We can walk in righteousness. We can walk in patience and love and joy and peace. We can follow the example of not just Christ, and you can't get a better example of that, but we can follow the example of all those who lived righteously because it is better than not doing so. It always is. In Paul's example of Abraham, he writes that the scriptures pointing out that Abraham was justified by his faith were written for our benefit. Were those the only things about Abraham that was written for our benefit? What about Abraham walking when God told him to go? What about Abraham rejecting the offer of spoils from the king of Sodom because it was God who made him rich? What about Abraham offering up his son Isaac? Out of obedience to God. What about every time an opportunity to be righteous presented itself and Abraham said, I'm going to do that? Do you think that was written for our benefit? Of course it was. Yes, so that we would know the importance of our faith in relation to the promises that God has given us, but also so that we would walk in a manner worthy of those promises. And it is as necessary now as it has always been to walk in righteousness, because the world is going to continue to do the opposite. Governments continue to allow evil to be possible. And people are going to take advantage of that. In fact, you know, we worry and we complain and we fear because we know people are going to take advantage of that. Know this. Evil, the forces of evil, the things that maybe we fear about, they shudder at Christ Jesus. It should not be us sitting down and shuddering. It should be evil. The world should know that we have been claimed by the greatest power in the universe, the power of light. Evil should know that we have the possibility of bringing good and righteousness into this world that is not full of it, and we are going to take full advantage of that. We are going to do it. We are going to overcome. There are precious few, that are not just going to turn their sights towards the narrow road that leads to righteousness, but they're going to walk it. What are you going to do? We were lost, but now we're saved. We were blind, but now we see. So let righteousness be that sight that we walk in every day. Unless you're still walking blind this morning. If you are and you need to be saved in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, be baptized into His name. Please come forward while we stand and as we sing.